I just appreciate worship time, huh? It's just such an honor to just stand before the King and just love on him and worship him and surrender and lay stuff down and, right? Three people? I knew there was a reason the worship team worked so hard. It's for you three people. Speechless, yes. This is my opinion. Like, we could come to church and we could just do the thing and we could say that was nice, but we could do that online, Monday to Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate the fact that every time we ask the Lord to show up, he does. It looks different every time, right? But he's here and he's in us. And when I say here, it's not necessarily in the building. He's among us collectively, right? And that is an honor and a privilege, and it's something we should never become casual about. Know what I mean? And man, if you ever do feel your heart say, this is just what it is, we always do this kind of thing, I can't wait till it's over, I can't wait to meet, I mean, gosh, adjust that, please. Adjust that. Yes? But that's not for anybody here, right? That's for just the folks online. All right. Well, Lord, thank you so much for your presence. I just feel like we would have wasted our entire morning if you didn't walk in the room and take your rightful place among us. And so, Lord, we just ask that you continue this service as an act of worship unto you, Lord. Let our hearts stand at attention at the word of God. And let us be changed and healed and made whole and challenged by your voice in us, God. It's by your word, Lord, that we live and move and breathe, and it's food to our soul. And so, God, I pray that you speak to us. And, Lord, each person, let them hear exactly what you want to say to them. There's no one-size-fits-all message. So, God, we're just surrendering our hearts to you and say, yeah, whatever you have, we're saying yes and amen in advance, God. And when we're done, Father, I ask that you make us look more like Jesus in every way, we pray. In your name, amen. 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 So we're starting a new series, and some of you are so relieved you just said amen. You just didn't want to say it out loud. No, just kidding. You're like, that holiness thing is abrasive. It was good, right? Yeah, I mean, I got saved. All polishing is abrasive. You can't polish without abrasiveness, I guess. It's not possible. You polish teeth is abrasive. Yeah. So we're starting a new series, and this one's going to be an interesting sort of navigation around God's heart for generations, family. You know. There's a phrase I love. It's not mine. I wish I could have it, but family is the language of heaven, right? And we have this mission in our brokenness to reach out to other families, right? To other generations, because God's heart is for the world around us, right? However, we're all broken in our own way, right? And on any given day where maybe you haven't cleaned your house or, you know, changed your kids' socks or whatever, right? It's kind of scary to just invite someone in your house without having some warning, right? And getting things a little tidied up, right? Yes? So we all know, like, there's this intrinsic thing we all know is I don't always feel qualified to just host a moment on any given second, right? And yet God is calling us to invite other families into our worst moment, if you know what I mean. Right? So it takes the pressure off in a lot of ways because I get to stand here knowing I'm just as, you know, like disqualified as everyone else in the room. And so I get to say, hey, we're talking about how to take this disqualified life of ours that's it's like broken and God is healing and addressing all these areas, and to say that is the welcome mat to the encounter that Jesus wants to have with other people in our life. right? So then look at somebody and say, wow, that takes the pressure off. Doesn't it? Because who comes to church to have a little bit more pressure added? Right? Like as if you don't have enough. Come and get your double dose, right? And it's great because, you know, in a world where we're imperfect and we're crying out for God to touch us and change us, cleanse us, give us new direction, new insight, right? It's wonderful to know. He said he's never going to give up on us. He's going to finish the work he started. He will have his fruit in our life. And he still said, go, right? And if we waited to be perfect before we could go, then we would never get out the gate, right? If you look through the book of Acts and you watch how the church grew, do you know what like the major mechanism for church growth was? Sharing meals. Daily going house to house, right? And that's how the kingdom advanced and was built, right? And if the church was growing at rapid leaps and bounds, and think about it, everybody in that story was either unsaved or a baby Christian. No one was perfect. No one had arrived. Nobody even thought they could possibly have arrived, right? It was just, hey, it's my house tonight. Don't mind the mess. Don't mind the mess. What kind of mess are you talking about? I'm not just talking about physical messes. I'm talking about relational messes, right? I'm talking about looking at things in my life that you could judge if you wanted to, right? Let us sit in. The uncomfortableness of being okay to be judged because the other people need Jesus, and you might be a mess, but Jesus is there. Right? Thank God for that. I needed Donna to bail me out. Just kidding. I shouldn't encourage it.
You don't have to encourage me. It just comes naturally.
I know. We love you, Donna. You're the cheerleader of River. So God has a heart for generations. How do we know that? Because within the very name of God, who he revealed his name to Moses when Moses was like, I just want to know your ways. What's your name? You know, show me. He said, he basically goes through a progression of attributes to his character. And within that, he said, I bless families to 1,000 generations, those who fear me. Right? Think about the impact of that. Those who fear me, not those who are perfect, those who have it all together. Those who fear me, I have a plan, thousands of generations to continue blessing down that line. That's his heart, like his name, right? In the Greek, anomo, the name, you couldn't separate the name from the attribute or the character. Do you know what I mean? It was more than a title. So with his heart for generations, he has this promise, and this is found in Matthew 18:20. It's so simple, and everybody knows it, but I'm still going to read it to you. But it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them, right? Where two or three are gathered. So what is the way that we want Jesus to be attracted into a moment of our life? Get together. It's so simple and yet so complex, right? Yes? Another way of looking at it, the opposite. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, right? And I've watched the church, the capital C church, use that as a reason to say, don't miss it on Sunday morning. Great, don't miss out on Sunday, right? But don't let that be the end of that, the power of that verse. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together with other believers. Like, make it happen, take it seriously, and understand that as you invite people together into your world, you're actually having Jesus walk into that moment in all of that imperfection and, right? Yes? Who wants Jesus walking in? Yeah. Okay. Just checking. Because I'd hate to sell this message and find out that wasn't like a priority here. He is going to show up. He's consistent. That's who he is. Right? Well, it doesn't always look the way I want it to. It doesn't always feel the way I want it to. It didn't end the way. Who cares? It's not about us. That's one of the major points, right? It's not about us. You matter, but it's not about you, right? Find peace in the fact that Jesus said yes to your invitation and walked in. Find peace in that. And what really happens is, if we want to go all Martha about it, we can actually find that we feel like we need to do more. The Son of God is about to walk in. I have to be busy. I have to. No, you don't. What if you just found honor in the fact that Jesus said, if you gather and you call on my name, I'm there. And no other qualification was required in that. Nothing else was asked of you than to host him well. And that's a heart thing, not a, I got to do more to host him better. I forgot to put the mints out, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Grandma mints? Okay, all right. Think about this too. I wish I had an infographic. I don't, because it's all like it's true, but it's nebulous to try to get your mind around. But as we bring other families into our families, and as we do life, and we ask God to show up, and as Jesus does show up, right, in these moments, we're affecting them. They're being affected, not us, but Jesus is affecting them. But then he's also promised to affect to the thousands of generations. You think about the weight of having those moments and how that, what impact will that be? You know, some of you are like, well, Jesus will be back before then. Whatever. I don't care. Right? We're not living for the we're going to check out thing. If you have your hand on the ejection button and you're planning on bailing out soon, you're missing out. Don't get mad. Do you guys know what the word church is in the Greek? Yes, you do. Ekklesia. Of course you do. You use it every day, right? And you know what that means. Huh? Who said it? The gathering, yeah. That's the simplified Daryl and Pete version, yes. I mean, it's true. It's an assembly called out, but I mean, it's really a gathering of people. That's the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, my gathering, my... Right? It's so simple. There's nothing complex about it. It's a gathering. And then Jesus promised, if you do that, I'll walk in. Even if there's two of you, I'll walk in. Right? Yes? Isolation is the devil's playground. So is laziness. Yes? So we host Jesus. We can't control the results. And the success is simply that Christ is there and that he's working all things, right? So I would have thought, you know, when Jesus showed up and he gave the Isaiah 61 scripture, it's Isaiah 61:1, and until I stop reading, if you don't mind, Kathy. But when Jesus showed up and the synagogue, they got mad at him and they tried to throw him out and throw him over a cliff. The insulting thing that he said in that moment was, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to announce that captives will be released, prisoners will be freed. He sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Right? I mean, I'm just going to stop for a second here. Think about it. We invite people, we get together, we ask Jesus, will you please just show up and be you? And then Jesus walks into a scene as being all of these attributes. Know what I mean? Nope. No, couldn't touch him. But my point is less about that, more about, are we asking, Lord, when you show up, do you, you know, just know you have permission to bring good news? You have permission, you have my desire to comfort brokenhearted people in my hosting, if that could be possible. If you feel like freeing somebody, can you just do that? Yeah? Would you show favor to somebody just on my couch? Will you declare with someone else that the enemies in their life, the enemy, Satan, is broken and that God's anger is against him and not you or that person? You know what I mean? Like, are we just asking, Lord, will you show up and be big in this simplicity? And then we, of course, get to argue that with the other side of our brain, and we get to say, well, I'm not qualified for that. I'm not trained. I don't know enough scripture. I haven't read enough books, and I don't even know what I believe on that subject even half the time, right? And it's cool because it's really not about us, right? Let's look at Luke 24. Neil got to actually teach on this, and I believe you guys even had some discussions around this in your life groups. But the two men on the road to Emmaus, remember? And they were crying about the fact that Christ was dead. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. Yeah? I got another scripture. I want to put that one on pause in your brain. And now look at John 20. Mary's coming to prepare Jesus' dead body for burial, and she encounters some angels, and they said to her, Mary Magdalene, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus is playing tricks again. Tricky Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away." I have one point I want to make from these two scriptures. They didn't recognize Jesus and they had an agenda and he didn't play well with it. Right? They were trying to reason why Jesus was dead in the first story and he shows up and walks him through the scriptures and says, "Nope, I'm alive." In the second scenario, Mary wants to prepare him for burial and Jesus wants to show up alive. You know what I mean? And they couldn't see and they couldn't recognize him even though they were looking right at him. Why? Because they already had their agenda in mind and he just wasn't fitting into that agenda. Gosh darn it. Right? And it's great to be able to stand here and say, "Hey, just stop looking at what you want and just see something you don't." But that's so weird. Sounds like something Yoda would say, right? Or that guy, that ninja master on the old show Kung Fu. David Carradine, did you guys watch that? Yes, young grasshopper. Just look at, see the things you can't see and just know the things you don't know that you don't know. Amen. Jesus was unrecognizable, and sometimes Jesus will be unrecognizable, but he will be very present. And we have to be ready for a Jesus we don't recognize to still be Jesus in the situation, right? And you could just think, I'm sorry? Mm-hmm. Yes, we will. Luke 24, in fact, Donna says, verse number 30, As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. They broke it, they gave it to him, and suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures?" That's it. Your heart will burn if you're open to understanding, feeling, and acknowledging it. Right? Now, I have to call out, they were physically present with Jesus, their hearts were burning, and they still didn't recognize it. Why do you care about that, Daryl? Because there's these moments where you'll actually stop, pause, reflect, go back, rewind, replay, and say, "That was God." But in the moment, we're like, "Where the heck is he? Does he even care?" Know what I mean? I love it. Suddenly their eyes were opened. They recognized him. And they said, "Our hearts burned as we talked with us." You know, he did this. He changed his appearance, I believe, for one thing. For his previous 3 years prior to his death and his resurrection, right? He was doing all the demonstration for his disciples, for people, and he was then inviting them to follow and observe and watch and maybe do some things alongside of him, right? And that could be really comfortable. It's to get used to that. If you did the same thing for 3 years, right, which is my job is to follow Jesus, he's going to do the big stuff, and then I get to clean up and celebrate with him. And then every once in a while, he sends me out, but I know it's going to be okay because he's just put so much confidence in me. Right? You know what I'm getting at? All right. So now he disappears, and he's like no longer visible, and I could be looking right at him. I don't even know it's him anymore. Everything feels really strange. I'm not sure what's going on. And he's like, I'm done just doing it all for you, and I want to do it through you. And so he stopped being the demonstrator with followers and started to say, go make disciples. And you be the demonstrator. And he entrusted men and women with this story and with this power of who he is, right? And if he just continued to look the way he looked, everybody would just default back to what was comfortable and familiar. And I know this pattern, and I always go back to this pattern. And whenever you do this, you get that. Right? And pretty soon you start executing a system instead of a man, Jesus. And that's easy, right? You know what I'm talking about? When you preach the certain service and then you have a certain altar call and the certain worship person always does the certain song and then, right? And if you do that thing just right and hit it with a little E minor twist, bang, people come get saved, right? How did I know? Is your formula? Did I steal your formula? you're going to have to move up to the key of B or something. All right. Patterns are allowed to change. They should change, in fact. Okay? If there's any part of you is like, this is how I do witnessing. This is how I pray. This is worship to me. Be ready for different. Be ready to throw all that stuff out. Because moments will come and everything you thought was familiar to you will go dry. I'm telling you by experience. Have you ever done that? Like in your personal time with the Lord, like every morning you wake up and you spend time with him, like, right? And it's wonderful. And then one day it's like sandpaper, right? And you're like, I need to go back to my Joyce Meyer. She's not working for me. I need to go back, right? And then you go back to that book you read when you first got saved. This one always does it for me. Oh, that's the one. No, it didn't work. I got to put on my Hillsong. Little shout to the Lord action. That'll always bring it back. It doesn't work, right? And you're like, what's wrong? I'm doing all the toys. I'm jingling all the right tricks. And what's going on? Because he doesn't want us to follow the system. He wants us to follow him and find him in the intimacy, not in the program. Yay. Ah, man. River is not the same river it has always been. Like a fine wine, it just gets better. hopefully you agree. Do you agree, Karen? She's the matriarch. I'm not insulting the past. It's just different. Yeah, yeah. All right, you get to be the historian.
I've been here since we started the church in the living room, 26 years. Who cares? It doesn't matter. But I've seen it come. You know, I know the original pastor and his wife. She's 80 today.
They were awesome. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Happy birthday, Arlene.
Happy birthday if you're watching. But the thing is, the cool thing about it is that I know from when we began to pray, man, so all these years ago, to see like God has brought to pass exactly their vision, exactly what he gave us. And they're not even here anymore. And, you know, and he brought Daryl, which was just the hugest blessing and a fulfillment of what he laid on our hearts. But the coolest thing of all is that it's happening. And today, this is everything they wanted, but more. Because Jesus always does something better. You know, you start out with one thing, and then he says, no, but I'm going to give you this something better, right? And I feel like we're in the something even better now. He's doing some, and I'm telling you, I know in my heart, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
The best is yet to come as Amen. We pray.
Amen. Yeah, thank you for sharing. Yeah, and I'm so glad, like, as we watch just think of different aspects of the church that you've encountered, and it's like the Lord breathes new life, and they look different, and it's such a blessing, you know? That was just an example. I didn't mean to go down a rabbit trail for too long. I was just letting you know nothing should stay stagnant the same and have a pattern that you just follow. And as long as you do that, I feel good. And if you don't do that, I don't feel good. Well, we're not here to feel good. Right? We're here to follow Jesus and do what he tells us. So the patterns go out the window. Thank you, God. Another thing about encountering him in a place that you did not expect him to, it should change you, okay? So in our story of the two men who are on the road to Emmaus, they were going home to weep about it. And then in Luke 24, 33 to 34, within the hour of spending time with Jesus, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, and they said, "The Lord is really risen!" Exclamation point, right? He appeared to Peter, right? It was this, like, they went from frown to upside down smile, right? They were now excited. There was exclamation points instead of tears. There was like one encounter with Jesus, even though they didn't expect to meet him there in that way, was enough to change who they were and what they did next, right? And they went from lamenting to now sharing. Oh my gosh, he's back. What about with Mary, who saw him in the garden, Luke 24, 4. That is, as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified. They bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." And then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back from the tomb. Rushed. Yeah, the chicks are now running from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. So now they are telling the guys who had walked with Jesus and were told constantly, "You know, I'm going to the cross, don't you?" And they didn't get it. These women heard it, and they had the privilege of running back and saying, "He told you so."
That's a woman preacher.
And they've been saying it ever since. Yeah. What's that? But I said it, and it feels good. I'm not. If you don't see me tomorrow or next Sunday, you're preaching. No, one encounter with Jesus went from "I want to bury this man" to "I want to rush back and tell." Right? It should never leave us the same. It should just change your direction completely the opposite way. So now when Jesus shows up and he does this amazing blessing in our life, we have this phrase, and that is his blessing is also his testing, okay? And I don't mean to like build a doctrine out of that, so if you want to argue about it, let's do it. But Jesus comes out of a place of humility, and he loves to develop people in a greater depth of humility, all right? And so I know that about his character, and I know that when he blesses us, then he also tests us to see, what will you do with that abundance of my presence and how I just moved through your life? What will you do with that? The day that you gathered and you said, "Jesus, will you just walk into the room?" And I do, and I do this amazing, what will you do with that information that I just did? Like, right? There's two directions your arm could go, this way or this way. Which one is it going to be? And we like to celebrate the wins as if we had something to do with it. And if it doesn't work, that's when we were like, you know, it's in the Lord's hands, of course. But we're being measured by the weight of his presence. Like, think about this. It's such a blessing and an honor, and it's also a little challenging. Like, just a quick reminder as you do the inventory of your heart, that his presence is measuring us, and it's determining whether or not and how we are a good fit for what he wants to do. Where do we need to develop? Where do we need to be refined? It's great. Once he finds out what needs to be refined, then he starts doing the work in us, right? So his presence is like, it's like the initial touch point of a whole chain reaction of stuff that could get cleaned out in us. and addressed. You good with that? Yeah, and I think that's also why people don't tend to want to chase after his presence so heavily, because every time he shows up, he starts putting his fingers in stuff that he shouldn't, right? Well, he should, but I mean, like, from our perspective, right? We're like, leave that alone, that's mine. Yeah, and that's that pruning thing, right, Barbara? Praying this morning for you guys, and that was one of the things that she felt the Lord was doing, is this, like, there's another round of pruning coming. And I sensed that too, and his presence is doing it. I have pruned you by my word, he said. We also want to surrender to his sovereignty. Remember when I read the Isaiah 61 scripture, it said, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, and therefore I will do X, Y, and Z among all those things, right? The sovereignty of God. It's a I will have my way kind of sovereignty. And honestly, that is such a comforting thing, okay? I cannot undersell you on the comfort of the sovereignty of God. I get emotional about it because, you know, I've had so many opportunities to ruin the purity of the move of God in my life, or, you know what I mean? Which affects everything. And yet he's sovereign. And he says, you know what? Come back here. Stop it. Right? Right? That word sovereignty in the Hebrew, guess what it is? You're going to recognize this word as soon as I hear it, as you hear it. Adonai. You recognize that's one of the names of God. And so when people worship him in that aspect of being Adonai, he's the controller, the master, the owner. He's the sovereign God that gets to come in and take things that are ashes and say, nope, I'm making that beautiful. Things that are broken, or I'm making that whole. Things that are in darkness, I'm bringing that to light. Things that are in prison, I'm opening that door. You're free. You know? Sovereign. There's nothing that can stop the heart of God from breaking through. We can drag out the process if we want to, right? Or we can just surrender and let him flow that thing where he wants to take it. Hallelujah. Somebody, man, you say, thank you for your sovereignty, God. So we know that the major goal of our life is to exalt Jesus above all things, right? And I want to, as we're speaking about the sovereignty of God, we also want to know that as we bring people in, or we assemble with other people and gather, that we ask Jesus to come, we're oftentimes tempted to bring our personal opinions, wisdom, perspective into that moment, right? Isn't that natural? And what I said was, it really doesn't have a lot to do with us. So just be open to this idea that all your stuff is just stuff, and it doesn't matter. Your opinions, your preferences, your judgments, your understanding of God. The Bible does say, study to show yourself approved, but at the same time, you're never going to have it down good enough, right? For all the study in the world, you still will not fully be able to articulate the wonder of the heart of God. And so don't own that as something that you have to have and you have to do, because you don't. I mean, I kid you not. There was this time that where we brought this woman into my living room, and there was nothing really appropriate to say in that moment. So I just turned on a song and said, this is for you. And the Lord just like blew her life away, completely rescued her. And nobody said anything, just played a song and sat there because there just wasn't anything more to do. And her whole life is like turned around from darkness to light, all in, I don't know, nobody gets any credit there. The only credit a person gets from that story is just, I shut up. Right? No formula, just obey the Spirit of the Lord and just stop trying to guide people with your wisdom and steer them with your amazing understanding of who he is, because it just doesn't matter. What we're doing is when we gather with people, especially the lost, what we're doing is we're inviting them to be flies on the wall to experience what is it like to be a broken, sinful person who's been rescued and is being developed and saved by grace, right? being, you said sons, right? How do the people go from being slaves to sons? And they get to be the fly on the wall and watch us kind of muddle our way through it. And there's more hope in that than having the perfect answer, right? I need a second, I'm sorry. Me, see what you did to me? I did. So this is not allergies. No. Made me cry, Donna.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I want to look at this next piece. Am I out of time? Do I have a few more minutes? Would you be cool if I took a... I am long-winded? Thank you. Thanks, Kathy. All right, Luke 24, verse 10 and through 12. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, several other women who told the apostles what happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. The men said, never mind. So they didn't believe it. I'm really not a jerk. I just act like one. I just play one on. I'm not a jerk. I just play one on stage. The story sounded like nonsense, so they didn't believe it. Right? However, Peter jumped up, ran to the tomb to look, and stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again and wondered what had happened. And I just wanted to point out a couple of these things. Number one, it sounded like nonsense, so they didn't believe. When Jesus decides to do something in your gathering, whether it be the big one or the small one, and he does something you don't expect, oh, will you just surrender to the, I can't believe this because it just sounds like nonsense? Or will you be okay to go home and wonder? Like, the Lord's not threatened by the fact that we might actually have to sit down and ponder something and, you know, process it and wonder a little bit. I mean, what do you think the whole point of signs and wonders is? Right? To point and make you wonder, right? So it's okay. The heart of God is not threatened when you don't, like, bite it hook, line, and sinker. But at the same time, are you going to resist it and say, that just was nonsense, so I can't believe that? Period. Definitive. End of story. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Take your stuff and move on. Right?
But you can run and go check.
Sure. Go do your work. Yeah, go look. Yeah, he made Peter stoop. Can we be silent and reflective? Being ready to move when he moves, refusing to add anything to what he's saying or doing. This is so critical. Is it okay not to have to add anything to what he's doing? To just let it be. But it sounds like nonsense. I think I need to just like position it a little bit more, and then people will get, what if we didn't? What if you resist the urge to do anything to it? Just let the nonsense of the gospel be the nonsense of the gospel and see what he can do. Right? I liked it. Felt good saying it. Resisting the temptation to steer who Jesus is or what he wants to do in any given moment. Just resist it. Don't try to steer anything. Like, just sit in it and watch him go. I'm half tempted. I'm not sure. We're out of time, so I won't do this. But maybe you tell me, and maybe I'll schedule time in a future service. But I want to know, how many of you have experienced moments where you resisted the temptation to do anything to steer someone, and Jesus was more like, hey, hold my beer. This is going to be awesome. Right? And it came out much better than you thought if you would have done it yourself. Right? Please remember that I just gave you that invitation because I want to hear. I swear to you, I'll call the message, hold my beer. Oh, man, here's one. I swear I'm late in this plane, but Matthew 16, 21, you guys know this one. From then on, Jesus began telling his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, the teachers of the religious laws. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. That was pretty specific, right? He described the whole crime scene, the who, the what, the why, the where, how long. Then Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Right? And we can all shake our heads, silly Peter. Right? But, I mean, have we been little reprimanders of Christ at times when he does something and it just doesn't agree with us? He gets to be king. If he wants to ride a donkey into town instead of a war horse, let him be. Don't shake your head. No. The Son of God does not ride on donkeys. He doesn't drive a Nissan. A blue one. Right? Or if the Son of God says, hey, I'm going to go die and then come back to life, you don't get to say, no, my God doesn't die. My God kills everybody. Right? My God doesn't surrender. My God takes your head off. Right? We want things to be true of him, and we want him to do it our way, and it's like, really, we don't get that right. He gets to be king. And if he wants to wash disciples' feet and not be King of Kings and Lord, let him be, right? And I love this because when Jesus turned to Peter, he actually said, get away from me, Satan, which means you're thinking with the wrong person, right? You're agreeing with the wrong agenda here, all right? You're a dangerous trap to me. Sorry, Lord. Yeah, and you're seeing things, look at this, merely from a human point of view. Sometimes we're so busy trying to stuff our human point of view onto him that we don't understand that he has something far greater than we could ever ask or imagine, right? Thank you, God. So I just wanted to pull that out because, man, there are times where we may approach a situation, a gathering where Jesus suddenly walks in and we see that thing from a human point of view, expect a certain result. And he's like, you're agreeing with the wrong person here on what you expect to happen, right? Sometimes he breaks things in discussions, like he just breaks them, and you're like, that's not what happened. I wanted to happen. I wanted that to go happily ever after. He's like, nope, I want that broken. Prove that. Jesus said, you think I'm coming to prove peace, but I'm here to bring a sword, right? Right? Oh, no. I'll divide father against son. What? Whoa, no. You're supposed to turn the heart of the father to the son. That's what you said you'd do, and I will. But today, I'm here to divide father against son. You know what I mean? Because he gets to be God, and he gets to mess with all the pieces, however he wants to mess with them. His ways are higher. So our job is do not resist the Holy Spirit, right? Another one, do not show off. That's not a command. It's me telling you, do not show off. Do not ruin the purity of God's delivery by putting ourselves into it, right? Don't put your personal preference or your style above what he wants to do. Do not try to enhance his move, okay? Don't steer him. And then the last one, keep throwing the focus back on Jesus. If two or three are gathered and Jesus is now in the midst, guess what? Don't keep throwing the focus back on the two or the three. Throw it back on Jesus. Okay, I got so much more, but I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm done. I swear. I'll save it. I believe the appropriate way to end this service is if you have like 5 more minutes. Yes? For me to say 2 or 3 gathered in his name and then say, now go out there and be warm and well-fed doesn't make sense, right? So would you guys be willing to break off in little groups of, you know, like we say 4 or 5, whatever, 6, whatever makes sense. It's not a popularity thing. Just pull up 6 people. Invite Jesus to come in, and if you don't mind putting the prayer points on the screen, that'd be helpful. You can pray anything you want to within this group. You could be vulnerable. You could say, hey, I need God to show up and help me in the following ways. Or these are some things. Maybe this is just for you to correct your heart before you engage, but help me be excited to invite you into moments with others who need you. Not like, oh, I don't like these groups. This makes me uncomfortable. How about help me be excited about this? Right? Number two, when you're moving differently than I expect, help me to celebrate that you're the king in every area of my life. Right? How about Jesus develop me with a greater depth of humility? Who's signing up for humility class? Equip me to exalt Christ above all else. I want to be lovingly surrendered to his sovereignty, right? And that's surrender. Yep. So, Father, we just ask you right now, as you've spoken to our heart, to come and have your way. And Lord, if you show up in a way that we don't recognize, I ask that you cause our hearts to burn as you open up your intention, your word to us. And Lord, allow us to just host you well. God, I pray that you cause us to look around the room to find who is the Holy Spirit highlighting that we should be a blessing to, who should we be vulnerable with, open, honest. And Lord, I pray that you will allow hope to arise as we seek you with other believers. Lord, this doesn't have to take long. We're not asking you to stretch this out, but we are asking for you, Lord, to confirm the words that we've taken in from your word today by moving in such a sweet and powerful and amazing way that throws the focus back to you and brings you all of the glory, oh God. We just love you, expect you to do amazing things because you're an amazing God. Bring peace, bring hope, bring joy into whatever we bring before each other, Father. In your name I ask, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you're okay, you know, you don't have to jump up at once, but get uncomfortable. Look around the room. Maybe just spin your chair around, make ugly circles. I'll clean up the chairs later, I promise. And see who you can be a blessing to and call in Jesus, okay? Yes? Yes.